Hello, I'm Manila Chan. You're tuned in to Modus Operandi. 2 years into the conflict in Ukraine, demographers are ringing the alarms about the dwindling population numbers in the country. You might think this is all due to the war, but actually, the details of the real causes might shock you. But we'll break it all down for you next. All right, let's get into the MO. It's a grim future for Ukraine as hundreds of thousands of men have died along the front. But that's actually just one small factor in the dwindling population of the country once labeled Europe's most corrupt. A year prior to February 2022, the UN issued a report about a population bust in Ukraine due to things like poverty, unhealthy lifestyles, emigration, and infertility. In short, even prior to the conflict, Ukraine was already suffering from an aged population on one end and not enough young people on the other to properly sustain and develop their country. Add in the frontline deaths and survivors who will frequently continue to live out the rest of their lives with severe disabilities, the grim 2021 UN report is actually now a best case scenario. Joining us to weigh in is Mark Sloboda. He is an international relations and security analyst. He's a former U.S. Navy nuclear engineer and host of The Real Politic with Mark Sloboda, which you can find on YouTube, Substack, and Telegram. Mark, great to see you. So first, Mark, we saw this pre-war UN 2021 report summary about Ukraine's population dynamics. They certainly painted a grim future for Ukraine. I'm paraphrasing here, but in effect, they say Ukraine was already among the fastest shrinking populations on Earth pre-war, and that their numbers would hit this unsustainable 35 million by the year 2050. But again, this was a full year before the Russian special military operation. There are a ton of factors at play, of course, for population dynamics, but how do you think the war itself will reshape Ukraine's numbers?
Well, the war is going to have a lot of effects in a lot of different ways, none of them that are good for Ukraine's demographics. And Ukraine's demographics are bad, probably the worst in the world, because they couple a high immigration from the country with a high mortality rate because of the conflict, with an already existing Western or first world phenomenon of a shrinking population because of you know, the standard modern effects of birth controls, women working, and everything else, combined with the economic depression effect on population that was almost universal across the post-Soviet space. So in 1991, the Ukraine had a population of about 52 million. That population has, by the start of the conflict, that had shrunk to about 34 million. In just two decades, just over two decades, well, close to three decades, because of all of these events before the conflict. And now, on top of the conflict, which really started in 2014, with some 20% of formerly Ukrainian territory now part of Russia, the Crimea, the Donbass, and most of Kherson and Zaporozhye, that is a huge, of course, further population loss. Now, there hasn't been an official census in Ukraine since 2001, so a lot of it is due to unofficial research. But the real population of Ukraine in area controlled by the Kiev government now maybe somewhere between 20 and 25 million, which is to say less than half the population that it started out with in 1991. So the current conflict, more territory, almost certainly is going to end the conflict in as part of Russia than exists now. So that would be the first effect. Emigration from the country continues, not quite as high as at the start of the conflict, but it is very high. And I think that only a very small minority of Ukrainians living either who have, you know, taken essentially refugee status in Europe or in Russia. And it's important, it's often neglected in the Western media that there are some 5 million Ukrainians, all right, meaning, you know, people from Ukraine who areas that are still not considered part of Russia that are in Russia, right, that are living, working, or, you know, in some type of refugee status in Russia. Most of those will not return. Likewise, I am quite sure whatever they may say to the contrary, the Ukrainian refugees and displaced in Europe. And then battlefield deaths. Battlefield deaths are, of course, everyone tacitly acknowledges a much, much higher, even currently, than what the Kiev regime officially puts out. And the Western press acknowledges. You hear comments about all the time in the Western media from actual Ukrainian troops fighting for the Kiev regime on the battlefield about how high their casualties are, but it doesn't penetrate the narrative. And the conflict is very likely to continue for years into the future. So it is entirely possible that Ukraine will end this conflict in whatever territory is still an independent state of Ukraine, if it still exists at the end of this conflict, with less than a 20 million population.
Yeah, for perspective, I'm from Los Angeles, as you know. LA County alone has roughly 10 million people. Yeah. So it sounds like Ukraine is very sparsely populated to begin with. So let's talk for a moment about the millions of Ukrainian workers. You already touched on this a little bit, who, according to the UN, they say that at any given time, roughly around 3 million people are working abroad. These are mostly what economists would call working age people. So you might say between ages 18 and 55. Then they say half of those people, so around 1.5 million, are considered low-skilled occupation or laborers and the sort. And the other half are the young, college-educated professionals. The estimate is that one-third of them are under the age of 35. It seems that that last cohort, they seldom return to the motherland because they've landed cushy jobs abroad, you know, started building lives for themselves somewhere else, most of them being males. The boys never come home because there's a dearth of opportunity for them in their careers. Could we explain or attribute some of Ukraine's lagging birth rates to this whole labor issue, to working abroad?
There's also conscription. There's also conscription to the military that no really sane male Ukrainian wants to return to, because they face immediately being conscripted and arriving in a trench in the front in Avdiivka or, you know, on the flanks of Bakhmut, often within 2 to 3 weeks of returning to the country.
Yeah, as we just touched upon in that last question, with so many men working abroad, never to return, the low number of males in Ukraine is exacerbated by this forced conscription that Volodymyr Zelensky implemented. Boys as young as 15 to men as old as 60 are going to the front. If they manage to survive, as we've seen thus far already, hundreds of thousands are now permanently disabled. I mean, a whole generation of Ukrainian males are disabled. What do you make of that prospect? Who's going to care for them and how?
Yeah, there are no good answers to that question. There is no answer to it. no pleasant answer anyway. That is going to be a huge burden, the disabled on the population, because many of those disabled are amputees, right? The majority. And that is a result of the type of conflict in attrition war fought very largely with artillery. The Kiev regime having a significant problem getting their casualties back from the battlefield to safe medical facilities leads to that the most often result of such type of injuries, according to the Western media, according to, you know, doctors reporting to them from the hospitals, is often amputation. So that's going to be particularly tragic, and no one has an answer to that at this point. No one. But the Kiev regime supposedly has 1 million men under arms. That is what the president of the regime, Zelensky, says. Of course, that's not counting any casualties from the beginning of the conflict, which, according to the Russian Ministry of Defense, are over 300,000, and some estimates put them significantly higher than that. Right now, the Kiev regime is finalizing a new mobilization bill through the Rada, through their parliamentary body. They're having political difficulties doing with it because they're calling for the further conscription of 450,000 to 500,000 more. No one wants to take political responsibility for that. But an interesting note is the age of the military at the front right now. The average age is in the mid-40s, around 44, which is, it should be shocking. While the Kiev regime takes and recruits volunteers younger than 25, it doesn't actually conscript men younger than 25 yet. And that might surprise a lot of people. Until you understand the demographic narrowing that is an existential threat to the future of Ukraine, such that in the late 90s and early 2000s, because of the very bad economic conditions, corruption, people weren't having children. They still aren't now, of course, but there was a very particular narrowing then, which means that there are four times the population from, say, 35 to 55 is four times larger than the population of 18 to 25, right? I mean, it's a huge narrowing. So there has been an attempt to spare the younger generation of Ukrainians from conscription, so that there is someone to carry on and have children in Ukraine, which is why they've been recruiting so many older men who are now dying in the trenches. But of course, those young men are also in prime economic activity too. They're being taken away from the economic activity of the country, right? 1 million under arms currently, asking for another 450 to 500,000 more, and considering how many have already emigrated either to the West, to Europe, or to the East, to Russia, the millions, that leaves a very, very small working pool, particularly when we're talking skilled fields. And right now, what economy still exists in Ukraine, which isn't much, businesses are suffering from incredible shortages of labor, and in particular skilled labor.
All right, coming up next, modern Western societies are seeing a lowered birth rate, much of this due to infertility. Is that why Ukrainian women are finding surrogacy as a major source of income? We'll discuss it when we return with Mark Sloboda. Sit tight. The MO will be right back.
Ah. What is Bharat? Is it a travel ad? Is it a Bollywood poster? Is it the deepest yoga center in the world? Or is it something deeper, more complex, multifaceted? Let's talk without cliches. Let's talk Bharat.
Welcome back to The MO. I'm Manila Chan. Mark Sloboda is back with us. Mark, thanks for sticking around. So one of the factors for the depopulation of Ukraine is low fertility among women. Yet Ukraine is also the Western world's baby factory. I mean, by that, I mean renting a womb. Many Ukrainian women are surrogates because of the very lax laws around all of that. So those babies, though, they're being born, but then they go somewhere else. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is it's a very hot button political and cultural issue right now in Ukraine. There has been multiple proposed bills put forward to the Kiev regime's parliamentary body, the Rada, asking for this surrogacy to be banned. It has not been as of yet, as far as I know, but there is certainly the possibility, simply because it is rightly or wrongly seen as taking potential children away from Ukraine and essentially giving them to the West. Now, that, of course, is issues of choice and a woman's body. But the fertility rate is an incredible problem. 0.7, right? An average woman of childbearing age now only has 0.7 children. That's far, far below replacement rate. It is now the lowest in the world. And it is due to, again, a number of factors, everything that the societal economic problems, first of all, first world country with women, now having fewer children thanks to birth control, abortions, and women in careers. That's a phenomenon being experienced across the first world and now increasingly into the global south as well. But that is compounded with the post-Soviet economic depression, a phenomenon experienced across most of the post-Soviet space. Russia pulled out of it in the 2000s, but Ukraine has never emerged from the 90s. And it's often a shock to see those numbers. But when you're facing an insecure economic future where the future looks even less bright than the present, and the present doesn't look very good, people tend not to have children, dramatically so. And then the very high mortality rate in Ukraine, right now, the average life expectancy of a man is between 57 and 58 years in Ukraine. That is absolutely shocking. But even before the conflict, such factors as alcoholism, suicide, they all played very high roles in bringing life expectancy down dramatically. Once again, Ukraine never emerged from the 90s. They've been living in that shock therapy, corrupt world ever since and have never emerged from it. So that leads to this incredibly low life expectancy, high mortality, high immigration, low fertility rate, and then the conflict and large amounts of Ukrainian land voting to get out of Dodge and joining Russia. It is a demographic death spiral. And it has to be said, as well as surrogacy, another problem that Ukraine is experiencing is, unfortunately, this has been quietly reported on in the West, more academically than and rudely. But the other thing that Ukrainian women are selling that is of interest to the West, of course, is prostitution, which will almost certainly play in at some degree to the problems with the number of children being born as well.
So according to Professor Brianna Harris of the Center for Population Change at the University of Southampton, UK, she says this depopulation crisis in Ukraine is multi-pronged. Listen here.
So it was declining because of this, what we call the triple burden, which was low fertility rates, high immigration, and relatively high mortality.
All right, then you add in the war. Some 7 million people have fled the country as refugees. Population numbers are super low for a country that size. If we examine part of what she said about high mortality, I was actually super shocked to find out that about one third of Ukrainians die, I mean, regardless of gender, that they die before the age of 65 due to preventable causes. And that's all according to the 2021 UN report as well. Why do so many Ukrainians die off so young?
The numbers, are, of course, are skewed much higher towards men than they are towards women. And there are things, multiple things that weigh into it, right? And a lot of these phenomenon can be found in Western countries, you know, in Europe and the United States, but they're to a factorially higher degree because of the perennially bad economic and spiraling down social situation in Ukraine since 1991. It's expected, you know, alcoholism is probably the number one cause, but that plays in across multiple ways. And if you take it such things as automobile fatalities, heart attacks, all of which are exacerbated by alcoholism, there's definitely a connecting trend that links a lot that goes into this. And the alcoholism is often directly or indirectly related to depression, which is a function quite often of the economic well-being of the country. It starts having synergistic effects, just driving everything down. Russia experienced this during the 90s. In the early 2000s, it was a regular phenomenon in Western media and even academia to depict Russia as a dying bear because of the forecast birth rate problem, the demographic problems, again, with the life expectancy and everything. And Russia pulled out of it, right? Economic prosperity was restored. Social order was restored. There were multiple programs to encourage people to have children. Alcohol use went down dramatically in the country, in no smart part due to government programs. But many people also suggest the vision of a young, athletic, energetic president who drank rarely and responsibly, if at all. So it is not impossible that Ukraine could pull out of this demographic death spiral. It's not impossible. It was done. But the longer it stays in it, the much, much harder it is likely to pull out of it. I would not give them very good chances at this point, but it's not impossible.
Mark Sloboda, thank you for letting me pick your brain. Mark is an international relations and security analyst, a former U.S. Navy nuclear engineer, and host of The Real Politic with Mark Sloboda, which you can find on YouTube, Substack, and Telegram. Thank you for that.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that is going to do it for this episode of Modus Operandi, the show that digs deep into foreign policy and current affairs. I'm your host, Manila Chan. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you again next time to figure out the MO.